Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, he played in the NFL for 12 years and remarkably made the Pro Bowl in 9 of them. He was a 2-time NFL sack leader. And if I remember the story correctly, DeMarcus Ware grew up in around Auburn, Alabama, and Alabama and Auburn did not offer him a scholarship. Isn't that amazing? That tells you the talent in the South. That tells you the talent. DeMarcus Ware, if I recall, not offered a scholarship. Let's bring him on live. He's got a new fitness app. That is the story. I swear to God, I heard that story years ago. You grew up in Alabama, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Alabama, man. I was got one scholarship going to Troy University, and I played wide receiver, converted to defensive end. How about that?
Were you not? What were you like in high school? Were you skinny and no good, or what?
All of the words you just said were just smart as crap.
That is funny.
So I made good grades.
There you go. Doesn't surprise me. So I want to talk about first about a team that you used to face all the time, New York Giants. Because Jason Garrett, you know well, Garrett gets fired in Dallas, goes to the Giants, and everybody says, oh, boy, that's bad for him. They're no good. And then I watch the Giants with Colt McCoy and Daniel Jones, and I'm like, I got to tell you, it's clever. It's multiple. Are you surprised he's had his success with Colt McCoy and Daniel Jones?
I'm not surprised, because one thing that he always talks about in his motto is the team, the team, the team. I know that the pandemic was crazy, you know, with McCarthy and him not being able to be there with the team. But I knew that Jason Garrett would communicate as much as possible over Zoom or whatever else virtual thing that they can get the team going to get really build that character that the guys need to really propel them throughout the season. And you can see that they didn't start off as strong, but you can see week after week they're winning football games.
Well, Dallas struggled initially. So what do you hear from former Cowboys about Mike McCarthy? Is he connecting with players?
During the offseason, it was a challenge, because when you come in as a new coach, first of all, you have to be very, very vocal, right? He's an older coach, so he relies on his veterans to sort of pick up the pieces where he left off. And I think that that's not happening. You know, like the DeMarcus Lawrences or the Leighton Van Der Esch's, the leaders that should be on the team, but also all the injuries. The leaders on the team, they're majority all injured, like Tyron Smith and, just to name a few, Lyle Collins. All of those guys are actually not there to implement his character of the team. So it's a challenge for him, and I can see that now. What, last game, it was 14-17 at halftime, and they came out still a little dead, a little bit soft. So the leadership is what propelled these guys into getting them to where they need to be, and I'm not really seeing that.
You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you a weird story. So I used to cover Oregon football, and they had an old stadium. And then Phil Knight, who founded Nike, gave them a bunch of money. And they had a new stadium, and their facilities were unbelievable. And after the facilities for a couple years, Oregon was not quite as physical. And many people said, their facilities are so nice, they're so entitled, the team got soft. And it's, I think about Dallas. Best practice facility in the league, best stadium in the league, multiple players making star money and increasingly not productive. Now this, I'm not saying anybody in the NFL is soft, but when I watch Dallas, they're not a physical team to me. And I think to myself, best practice facility, overpaid guys, best stadium, for best team playing. Do the Cowboys ever, I know they've had a lot of injuries, but did you ever feel like sometimes there was a little fat cat feeling in Dallas? Because right now they got a lot of guys making star money, and I'm not seeing star productivity, DeMarcus.
You know, when I played, I remember every team that we played, they said we walked out like we were gladiators, like we were monsters. They were like, they are so big. They are so intimidating, and we just run the plays that we want to run, and you got to own up to it, and you just got to take that, right? But now it's a different challenge to where you have a lot of the players that are there. Do they still have that gladiator mentality? Because if I'm 14, if it's 14 to 17 at half, and I have an opportunity as a leader to now make a statement against the Ravens, I promise you we're not losing that football game because of who we are and what we stand for and all of the injuries, all the battles that we've been through. Now, how can we prove everybody wrong with what we got, with what the leadership we have? And like, again, I said earlier, I'm not seeing a lot of that. I'm not seeing a lot of that grit, a lot of that thump in the trenches to where you see guys making those big hits. And like a play like this right here, I probably wouldn't even come on the football field if a quarterback ran through the middle of the defensive line like that. That should not be happening.
Yeah. So the Cowboys have mostly been good, not great, over the last decade. So it's very doubtful they're going to have a top five draft pick again. So they're going to have a top five draft pick. This is rare air. Dallas generally doesn't draft top three, four. They did a few years ago to get Zeke, the Tony Romo injury year. So this is a prized pick. There are great quarterbacks. We know in the top 10, 15 picks, you're getting like, these are the best of the best. If you had that pick, they've got defensive issues. They don't need a wide receiver. That I know. They have O-line issues. There's some good quarterbacks. What would you do to start the rebuild, DeMarcus, for the Cowboys with that pick?
If I'm giving up over 250 yards, you know, like last game, over 150 yards a game, I would go and get an anchor in the middle of the defense because obviously there's somebody that's not there, that's not anchoring, that's taking up two guys to where a Leighton and Jalen Smith can really move around and make plays. So I would go get a monster in the middle. If we're going to be running a hybrid type defense, there has to be a beast in the middle to anchor to now let everybody else loose, the DeMarcus Lawrences, the Alden Smiths, the Randy Gregories of the world, so they can be effective. That will be the first thing I would get, somebody that's going to bring the thump, like I said, to the defensive line, but also that grit. Where's that gritty person? That person is very vocal. I hadn't heard anything from anybody, but I've just been seeing a lot of losses.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Jalen Hurts is going to replace Carson Wentz. So when you're a player in a locker room and a quarterback is struggling and they put the backup in, do you feel bad for the starter? Do you question the coaching staff? How does it land for players what's going to happen in Philadelphia?
You know, it was a time to where, you know, let's say when Romo came in and Drew Bledsoe went out, I was like, okay, well, you have Romo coming in. But what really sold me on the deal was the plays didn't change. And a quarterback that came in with authority, with laughter, with confidence, someone who wanted to make us better but not turn the ball over. And sometimes you need that spark from the whole team of change. And then the guys corral around you a little bit because week after week, if the same quarterback is doing the same thing, I'm going to start bickering a little bit and saying, hey, you can't be turning the ball over like this. We're not converting on third downs. You know, who else do we need to put in there to be the catalyst to keep us going?
Yeah. I want to go back to McCarthy. Old school, you said old school, which leads me to believe you tend to be not a fan of old school. Do you think he should retain his job? Do you think he's the right voice for this roster?
I think he's the right voice for the roster. But the thing is, you have to win these last football games and get the mentality of what it feels like to win. Going into next season, knowing that there's not going to be a crazy pandemic, you instill the character of what the McCarthy way with the Dallas Cowboys, and then you establish the leaders that need to lead that's going to help you from an offensive and defensive standpoint to now make your motto stick. So I think he is the guy, but he never had a chance to really talk to a lot of the players in the offseason and steal who he was and how he does things. And I think this offseason is going to be good for them if they win some football games.
Right. By the way, you have a new fitness app. It's called DTW, Driven to Win. DTW. It's DeMarcus.
D2W.
What did I say? DTW? D2W. By the way, yep. You have weights behind you. This is a silly question. So I'm not, I lift weights, but mostly just to keep in shape so I can eat more. At your most, D2W, at your most, what did you bench?
If I bench 425.
Oh my God.
Around about 425, squat about 600 when I was playing. But now it's all changed, man. I've gotten an opportunity to really give back because when I retired, three back surgeries, one neck surgery, I didn't have an opportunity. I mean, that's why I retired. And then I came up with this app. I said I wanted to make my new locker room the weight room and motivate people through fitness. So for the last 2.5 years, I've been working my butt off with all the content in this app, but I wanted people to have the experience that NFL and athletes have. So that's why I added in 3D models, augmented reality, but also artificial intelligence that grows with you along the way. And this is for everybody, the beginner, meaning the first time someone ever goes and works out like you, right? You said
that's
you
right.
just work out just a little bit, all the way to the advanced athlete. And you have a user experience to where you can actually put it in the room with you and have a virtual trainer with you from your cell phone and shows you how to do all of the exercises, the tempos, the reps, any variations, and it takes you through every single aspect of fitness.
Okay, Driven to Win, DTW. Yeah. You're one of the good guys. I love having you're such a positive force, and I love that. Now that you're a weak, frail old guy, how much do you bench?
I probably put 315 on the bar every once in a while. I have 315 actually behind me. I was benching it before you called me just to make sure I got a little bit of a pump on the whole deal. But yeah, probably about 315. That's what I would always usually put on the bar sometimes at the most.
Just a little pump. Just need a little pump. It's what you, Goulet, it's what you do before a show, Goulet. You get on a little, you have pizza pump. Just a little, just want to have that little good. DeMarcus, great seeing you.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, one of the good guys. What a great story. Wide receiver, skinny kid, Alabama, had good grades, so he'd get into college, but nobody was interested. It's so funny because like in basketball, there's not a lot of DeMarcus Ware stories. You can really tell. LeBron, like 12. Like in basketball, I always tell the story. I'm in Hartford going to one of my daughter's, like, you know, AAU things or whatever. There's a huge gym. And it must be 30 teams. And I can literally spot a little tiny girl way in the other court. And there was a bunch of like college basketball coaches or high school coaches. And I'm like, who's that with the handles? They're like, oh, yeah, she's the best player here. Like, she's like seventh grade.
Yeah, you can see talent in basketball.
Basketball, like, pow. Football, half the league is undrafted.
Slara said something the other day that I've literally been thinking about for the past couple of days, because we talk all the time, like, how would we build teams if we were
right.
GMs or if we owned a team? Like, what kind of guys would we draft? And Jimmy talks about it all the time because Jimmy's one of the greatest
all-time
drafters. And you love the draft, and it's so hard. It's just such a crapshoot. I think I would look for guys who you knew were smart, but, like, not necessarily book smart, like, understood the game. Because Schlereth said the other day, everyone who's going to make it to the NFL is going to be physically gifted, right?
Right.
You're not going to be in that conversation. But do you understand the game? Like, are you cerebral enough to handle it on that level? And I think that's the kind of guys that I would look for.
Well, it's like we had Logan Ryan on the other day, and he was a former Patriot. So he goes to Tennessee, and he's basically a mentor to the Giants, and he's the New York Giants secondary, which still needs another corner. And it's like he's teaching them how to play. I always notice this. Like the New York Giants, they get beat on touchdowns, but they never, no cheap touchdowns. The Patriots don't give you any cheap touchdowns. That's the difference. Like Dallas gives you freebies. Like I will say this, Mike Tomlin defenses generally don't give you a lot of freebies. And that to me is good coaching. Sometimes you have personnel issues, but Belichick's defenses and Brian Flores is the exact same way. When you watch Miami, you rarely watch Miami's defense and think, oh my God, blown coverage. Somebody is wide open. That's the difference in coach. And now that's not just coaching. Are players coachable? Can they consume all this information?
Yeah, you can only be as detailed as your players can consume.
Can cognitively, yeah. On the fly, can they handle it? So, no, it's a good point. Enjoy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Lamar Jackson returned last night to help his team with a 34-17 win over the Cowboys, and he talked after the game about missing time on the COVID reserve the week before.
Oh, like, it felt like I didn't play a whole season. Like, I was like,
I feel good to be back with my guys, you know, even in practice, you know, walking into the locker room and stuff like that. It's like, man, I couldn't wait to see y'all face. Like, it was like 2 weeks I ain't see those guys. So it was like, man, I can't wait to get out there and perform for those guys because I know how much, you know, it means us to win games.
He is so dynamic. Like, last night you could just tell. He was dying to play. And you know what's funny about it, too? And this goes to show you something, Joy. A couple years ago, Sean McVay came into the league and said, I'm not playing any of my starters during the preseason. And everybody's like, whoa, you got to have four minimum. And the Rams started like 5-0. Lamar had a practice in 2 weeks and looked really good last night. Can we get out of the old school thinking that, you know, once you've been in this league 3 or 4 years, you don't need a lot of padded practices?
Yeah. Well, my only question with him, how he was going to look, was, is he going to have any of the
timing?
The COVID? No. Well, the timing, yes, of course. Yeah. And he saw a little bit of that last night. But is he just going to have any, like, lingering effects from COVID? Because he did have symptoms. And, I mean, Cam talked about it recently. Like, he wasn't 100%
there. He was fatigued.
Yeah, when he came back. I mean, this is affecting your body, even if you're a young person. You know, if you were sick with anything, how's your body going to respond? But he looked great, and they were smart to lean into the run, being that Dallas has the worst run defense in the league, and it showed last night, and we're showing one of his big runs. He was 12 of 17, 107 pass yards, 94 rushing yards, and 3 total touchdowns. One interception, but both teams had a kind of a, you know, bounce turnover. But
he also, for the people that say he can't throw, he had a great throw into the corner of the end zone. He had 2 huge third down throws. Now, because of his throwing motion, when it's ugly, it's ugly. He can go Carson Wentz on throws. You're like, dude, that's not even close. Like, he misses badly a couple times a game. But if we care about winning, he made the throws you have to. He's 27-6 as a starter. That's better than Josh Allen, who everybody loves.
Most quarterbacks miss a throw or two throughout the game.
Yeah, Lamar's can look uglier.
I think we are a little bit more, they can, but I think we're more critical of Lamar's throws because he's such a running quarterback.
And we have this built-in stigma that this isn't going to work. It looks like Kaepernick, but I'll say this, he's a better thrower than Kaepernick. Kaepernick had no curveball. Kaepernick threw.
I don't even think of Kaepernick when I see Lamar, though. Lamar is such a unique athlete and unique, has such a unique style. Like, I don't compare, even though they're all running quarterbacks, I don't really see that in him. And I just similarly, I don't see Kyler's game in Lamar's game. Like, they're both running quarterbacks. They both clearly need to run to be successful. But I think Lamar is very fast. And Kyler is quick, not fast. Like, they're both running quarterbacks, but they have such a different style. Anyway, right. He looked good last night, and I'm glad to have him back out there, and he's clearly happy to be back out there. So the Patriots crushed the Chargers 45-0 on Sunday. They play tomorrow night against the Rams. And Cam Newton recognizes that his stat line, it looks a little different than what New England fans are used to.
It's not the sexiest thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be the first person to tell you that, like, people are always comparing quarterbacks to quarterbacks, which is the right thing to do, but the style of play is completely different. You know, obviously, looking at my game and looking at Patrick Mahomes' play, Tom Brady play, you know, whoever is a gunslinger in this league that throws for a lot of yards, that's a way to win. I understand that.
This whole Patriots team is different than what Patriots fans are used to.
It's a power running team. And by the way, with no preseason, it was wildly inconsistent for the first 7 weeks. It's not as inconsistent now. We got about 4 or 5 games now. They changed fundamentally their offense. Well, what do you the first 7 weeks, it would be like good, bad, terrible. Okay, terrible, kind of good.
Well, they also were without Cam due to COVID.
Yeah.
But he's right. Like, if you look at his stat line against the Chargers, who's 12 of 19, 63% completion percentage, 69 passing yards, 48 rushing yards, and 3 total touchdowns, and they won 45-0.
It's a power run game.
So it just, at the end of the day, if you get the win, it doesn't have to be pretty, but in New England, you're so used to seeing the Patriots play a particular way.
Well, the other thing,
by 1,000 cuts, and that's not what they're able to do this year.
Patriots have always had, nobody talks about, Pittsburgh does this well too. New England makes their receivers block. So it they've always been a physical offense. So it wasn't as drastic a change as you think. New England tends to be one of the best blocking teams from the tight end, from the receiver position. N'Keal Harry, Big physical kid, may not be able to separate, but he can block. Edelman can block for his size. So, I mean, it's a unique way to win, but I am taking the points. I'm taking the points tomorrow night. What are they getting now? Five? I got six, but five now, Fox Bet? New England getting five against the Rams tomorrow? I'm taking the points.
It's going to be a good game. Finally, number four Ohio State was forced to cancel their game this weekend against Michigan due to COVID.
Yeah.
This had threatened to leave the Buckeyes one game shy of being eligible for the Big Ten championship because they are 5-0. According to Yahoo Sports' Pete Thamel, the conference is expected to amend its six-game minimum rule to allow Ohio State to get into the game.
Should.
The vote is considered a formality, which would lead to Ohio State playing Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game on December 19th.
That's who should play. Yeah, I mean, that feels like a legitimate game. You win that, you're in.
This should absolutely amend this rule. It's good for the conference. It would be silly for them to keep them out of it. And there would be consequences to that as well.
Yeah, listen, it's COVID 2020. You got to be flexible.
Be flexible.
Just change crap. It's just the way it is.
Joel mentioned earlier Ohio State's the only school in the conference that has missed just one game due to its own COVID positives.
That's right.
Every other team has been forced to cancel a game to the virus has missed at least two games. So they've had one game missed due to their own positive ones. But they've really been negatively affected by other schools.
Yeah, Maryland, Illinois, and Michigan, therein, got games canceled, of which they would have been, they're a 30-point favorite over Michigan before it was canceled. So don't blame Ohio State. I mean, it's just, again, Big Ten's cool. Be flexible. We're all trying to get through this crap, through the vaccine. Just be flexible.
I think they will. Like I said, there will be more negative consequences to them not being flexible with Ohio State, who we know should be in the college football playoff, than for them keeping them out because of not enough games played. This is a year where everyone has to make amendments and make things work, and overall it would be good for their conference to have Ohio State.
Yes, of course.
So don't hustle backwards.
Yeah, Big Ten, get somebody in the conference championship. And I do think this year, depending on the seeding, I would love, if I had my druthers, Bama-Clemson play and Notre Dame-Ohio State play. That, in a COVID year, if that's what I get, that is fantastic. I don't want to see Bama-Clemson championship. Let's just see them play now. Boom.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame beat Clemson. Notre Dame-Ohio State.
I'm with you. That's yummy.
That's really good. I would promote that, and it's at another network. I would strongly encourage you to watch that. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
We're playing the game Lamar or less. We size up Lamar's numbers. I've defended him, and, you know, he doesn't throw for big passing numbers. So we'll do the blind resume. Lamar compared to somebody, better or worse. This will be fun. I haven't seen this game yet. They made it up on the fly an hour ago. We'll see what it looks like. I'm trusting my staff, which is always dicey. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens beat the Cowboys last night. So earlier in the show, I was defending Lamar. I said, listen, if you buy a Ferrari, you don't worry too much about gas mileage. You put up with Shaq's bad free throws because he was so powerful. Tom Brady's not a very good athlete, but he's so good pre-snap. If somebody is exceptional at something, you tolerate their so-so at something else. He's clearly good enough throwing the football to get teams to the playoffs, and that matters to me. This is not baseball. We care about stats. We care about winning. So today we're playing Lamar or less with Joy. Here we go.
All right, Lamar or less. Higher completion percentage through the first 33 starts. Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady?
Okay, it's a different era. So I would say, this is a trick question. I would say Lamar because 20 years ago, yeah, what is it?
63.8, 62.8.
Actually, Brady's higher than I would have thought. That's a pretty, 20 years ago? That's a pretty good completion percentage, to be honest with you.
Higher passer rating in first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, these are trick questions. Hold on. Aaron Rodgers has the second highest of all time. But you're asking me 33 starts. So Aaron Rodgers had a bad first year. Ah, I figured it out. Aaron was 6-10 his rookie year. He was great his second year, so I'm going to say Lamar.
Correct. Lamar, 100.9. Rodgers, 97.8.
I'm a wizard.
More passing touchdowns through the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Peyton Manning?
Oh, no, that's different, though. Let me think.
Passing touchdowns.
I would say Peyton Manning. I think I remember Peyton being pretty solid with that.
Lamar, 58, Peyton, 53.
Wow.
Fewer interceptions through the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. We know Patrick Mahomes does not throw interceptions.
So these are all trick questions. So 33 starts is 2 years. So 30, because Lamar only started 5 games his first year, 16-22. So by the end of his second year, again, I would say Patrick Mahomes.
Lamar, 16. Mahomes, 18. Now, Lamar does more running, so maybe
he doesn't have as many.
That's why. More passing yards in the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, that's easy. Ben's first year, swear to God, he never threw. They were just all they were. Mike Tomlin, those guys were hiding him and Cowher. He had Cowher his first year, didn't he? Yeah, he had Cowher his first couple years. No, Ben didn't do anything his first year in the league. I'd say Lamar had more passing yards.
Nope. Big Ben, 6,873. Lamar, 6,296.
This game's not as much fun as
you're
I anticipated.
Confident, though. More wins to the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson?
Okay, so Lamar started week 11, and he went 4-1, didn't he? And then he won MVP. Boy, that is tough. I'm going to say Russell Wilson.
Nope. Lamar at 26. Russell Wilson at 25, so it's not egregious.
All right.
Higher passer rating through the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson?
Now, Deshaun was insane. So I'm going to say Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson is correct. 104-1. 100.9.
Yeah, remember Deshaun Watson had a 5-touchdown, 0-pick. Was he against Seattle or something? He had a ridiculous game on TV against the Seahawks.
More passing touchdowns in the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Andrew Luck?
Nobody messes with Andrew Luck. I'm going to say Andrew Luck.
Lamar at 58, Luck at 48.
This stuff is a lot. Has anybody checked this stuff? This could be people in the back just making crap up.
You think so?
I don't think that one's right. Let's double check that one.
All right, run that one back,
That looks like an error on the staff.
More 300-yard games in the first 33 starts.
Passing yard games?
It does not specify. Lamar Jackson or Terry Bradshaw?
Well, Terry Bradshaw played when they didn't have helmets. So, I mean, give me a break. I'm going to say Lamar.
Correct. Lamar had one, Bradshaw had none. Terry is also very open about it. He's not a big stat guy.
Well, and Terry was also had Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll was like not a passing guy. People forget this. Bradshaw's first year, he got the crap kicked out of him. First couple years he did. But you know what's funny about Bradshaw? He's all goofy and stuff. He was so serious as a player.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no nonsense. He must have had a strict dad. Like, he's like, I want to play for the Steelers. I'll never play for anybody.
He did have a strict dad. You remember him telling you the fishing story of the draft?
Like, Terry was no nonsense. I remember Terry. I can remember he dated a skater. JoJo Starbuck. I mean, I shouldn't be bringing this up on the... I remember Terry Bradshaw, I threw a football in high school because Terry Bradshaw put his finger on the tip of the ball. So as a kid, I thought it was cool looking. And later my dad's like, you don't have big enough hands.
Yeah, I think Terry said that was probably a bad idea.
Good job. Also. You just stalled long enough so you didn't have to get any more questions wrong.
All right, what's the next one?
More rushing touchdowns the first 33 starts, Lamar or Cam?
Lamar.
Cam. 22, Lamar 15. And more rushing yards through the first 33 starts, Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick?
Michael Vick.
Wrong. Lamar Jackson.
This game was stupid. That's the last time we're playing this game. It's the dumbest game we've dumbest game we've ever played by far. Discovery Plus starts next year. It's a new streaming service. Be a lot better than that game we just played.